Another jammed, packed show there, everyone.
Yeah, it did. Donald Trump wanted in. Big names in your workplace, Robin. That was new height.
The Queen got involved.
Yeah, Queen and Bill Clinton. So exactly what happened in the lift?
Mm. Right. What about we're talking Alfie Langer during the show today? His on-field activities will be curtailed slightly.
Yeah, there's lots in the catch-up today. Please enjoy it. And Marto, if you're after another podcast, you've just got on board. What are you into?
Let me just read out what you told me to do. Team effort. Yeah. Team effort.
What's team effort?
That's one of my... Ed's in it with Tony Martin.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a self-help podcast. It's all about improving your life. So I get experts together and we help improve
Is
your
it?
Life.
Oh, no, Tony Martin and Ed are two of the greatest video nerds the world has ever... They'd be talking movies at some stage.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we mention Steven Seagal, but that's for another day. Enjoy the catch-up.
While you're listening to this Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up, grab your phone, head to redsrugby.com.au and book your tickets for our St George Reds taking on the Crusaders, Saturday, March 11 at Suncorp Stadium. Speaking of Reds, here's one bloke who earned 65 caps with them. Oh, and Ed and Robin as well.
Marto, Ed and Robin, it is the new Triple M at 6:21, top of 29 degrees, partly cloudy, doing it for the St George Queensland Reds. Still to come, a chance to shame a dud that's weaseled their way into your family soon, plus big names in your workplace returns later.
It is my high honour and distinct privilege to introduce to you the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
Leader of the free world. President Trump, did you watch the Oscars?
Yeah, I saw it, and what I saw was one of the worst stuff-ups ever on live TV.
Well, they read out the wrong winner.
No, a close-up of Meryl Streep. Yuck, I always threw up my Pop-Tarts. Give a guy some warning before you show that. Her face looks as bad as Warren Beatty's neck. Disgusting.
Okay, let's not get personal. Back to the Best Picture announcement when they made the mistake. Who do you blame for that stuff-up?
Now, you know me. I'm a calm guy. I like to think things through before I jump to conclusions. But I'll say I'll probably blame Muslims. Or maybe Hillary Clinton. Or maybe both. Maybe Hillary Clinton and some Muslims were out the back trying to bring down America one announcement at a time. That's what she's like.
But you decided not to...
I apologize, to be honest with you. Shush for a minute there. To be honest with you. When Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty got up, I was like, oh, my God, yeah. Hillary looks terrible, and I've never seen Bill look worse either. Oh, no, wait a second. It's another couple of degenerate, old, decrepit losers.
Can we talk about the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Why didn't you decide to go?
Why would I go to that and hang out with a bunch of smelly journalists, lesbians from The Guardian? No, thank you. When I go out to dinner, it's either with rich guys like Greg Norman or hot chicks like my wife, or rich guys that like to cheat on their wife like Greg Norman. That's who I like to spend my time with.
Okay, that's enough. He's a local boy. President Trump, thanks for your time.
Get lost.
Okay.
I'm just going to say out loud that my kitchen rules have completely lost me with their third group of contestants. I couldn't invest in them because I used to flick between them and Married at First Sight. So now I'm completely on Married at First Sight. And this week's been kind of interesting because we have Cheryl, the Gold Coast gorgeousness, and her bloke Andrew, who they were both rejects from their original couples who then got together. Yeah. And it was home visits across this week. Mm-hmm. And Cheryl has a very feisty and some could say angry aunt dad.
Oh,
by
the
name of Hamish.
I know the one.
Okay, so...
hate him.
Okay, yeah. So Andrew turns up at his house to meet him for the first time and straight off, this bloke is into him.
You've got nothing, mate. You've got nothing. This is my daughter. You just don't exist, mate. You're just in, like, just nothing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it gets better.
Really ugly.
Why did you bring him in here? Don't think so, mate.
You're going to make me leave if you keep acting the way you do.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I can come between these guys. I'm just going to break them up for sure.
Okay, that's the first time he's met him. The bloke walks into his house on the sunny coast after they've driven for a couple of hours from the Gold Coast to meet Hamish, and hopefully Andrew is going to make a good impression. And whether you like Andrew or not, that is the reception he got.
But as a father-in-law, like as a father of a girl, I started putting myself into his shoes and going, yeah, you got to be tough, you know, in case your daughter's introducing a dud into the family.
Like that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just a bit of a show of bravado. I was hoping for his sake. See, yeah, Ed's been there. I've been there. Meeting the father of your future wife is tough business. You get a lot of pressure put on you.
Yep, you do, and you should. And I fully agree with that one of that. I think he's Scottish. That Scottish man's attack. I mean, you know, the show is ridiculous.
Yeah,
the people are ridiculous. They are the lowest forms of humans you'll ever meet. And he's right to, as soon as they walk in the door, to say, get out, you're scum. He's
absolutely
right.
So
he's got to keep the family tidy. Like, he's got to look after.
He doesn't even know him. Like, if you're saying who's the dud in the family, I would say it's Hamish. I would
Who's
say
Hamish?
That you cannot,
the
that's
father?
The dad.
The father.
No,
you,
no.
You cannot be so so opinionated from the word go. The guy didn't even get a word out.
Do you know what
he
knows,
like,
about him? Oh, no. Do you know what he knows about him, Robin?
What?
He knows that he signed up for Married at First Sight.
Yeah, but so did his daughter.
Exactly. So she's so off the rails, and if she's bringing home someone who has also done that, it's like, you know.
Double dud.
Yeah, you are 100% going to bring a dud into the family, and that has to be. You know how bad it is, Robin. We've all got a dud in our family, and it's so it brings everything down.
Okay, so you're saying that every family has a dud, and that's how you're supposed to weed them out?
Often, yeah. If you don't get rid of them early, they're like a weed, a dud in your family. You keep chipping away at them, and they keep poking their head up.
So you have a dud in your family, Marto?
Yes, but can't say who it is by the look.
Thank you.
Yes.
I heard a story from a friend.
All my brother-in-laws are good. I just want to make sure.
Dad can be female. Yeah. Doesn't have to be male. Female.
What about you, Robin? Is there duds? Has there been a dud? Maybe it's been, this dud has been gotten rid of out of the family. Has someone brought a dud into your family?
I'm just trying to think. They haven't lasted very long.
No,
I mean,
you
there's been like lots
them.
Of yeah. There's been lots of kind of boyfriends that my sister has had that just, you know, haven't really earned a living.
They drag the family down.
They don't last. That's the thing.
Some
Sometimes
of them do.
They do. Mm.
But
Sometimes
see, I reckon with Andrew the bloke and Hamish the father, like, wouldn't you just buck up and just go, hey, buddy, if you're going to talk to me like that, I am going to stick around to be a thorn in your side forever.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yes. You're right. Maybe it could have the opposite effect. So what do you do if there's a dud? If you've had a dud, you don't have to name them. If you've had a dud show up somewhere in your family, maybe the boyfriend of, the girlfriend of, the second husband of.
What do you do? Do you stop inviting them? Stop inviting them to family things, and then hopefully they'll just slowly peter out.
I would really like to know what makes them dudified too.
Ooh, it really shows up at Christmas. That's when you can't avoid. That's when the
alcohol.
Duds have to come. No, but you can't not invite them to a Christmas thing at the dud, and that's when they're usually on display most.
Marto, what happens with Hillary if she brings a bloke home? Is there anything that's going to happen that will convince you that this guy is okay?
I've just had the situation occur. She had a bloke over last week, and they've gone back down to Sydney.
And you didn't like him? Is he a dud?
He's okay. He wasn't a dud.
Okay, how did you know he wasn't a dud?
Spent a bit of time. He likes footy.
Okay, there you go. Boom. Tony.
Funny.
Frog
well,
Lee.
It's a good start.
Hey, Tony.
There you go.
Yeah, good, mate. Have you got a dud?
Mate, I've got a beauty for you.
What happened?
My daughter met a fella at work. He was... He moved in within a few days to her house from Sydney. It took a year, but money kept disappearing and excuses kept getting made. And they ended up the other side to get married. She was love struck. But whenever you went to go and visit this bloke, he'd disappear. He'd never be around.
Yeah.
I was always a little bit sus from him. And we'll cut it short because they decided they were going to get married. They booked a wedding venue that got cancelled because the payment didn't get made. They booked limousines, that payment disappeared. He worked for 8 weeks and didn't get paid for some reason for this new company, so she paid all his alimony to his last family.
Oh, no.
They booked a European holiday, which cost her $55,000 because she owned the house, he didn't. Oh. So she mortgaged that again.
Married.
Weeks beforehand, I sort of said to her, are you sure this bloke's all right? Yeah, it's all fine, Daddy, it's all fine. I'm thinking, no, it's not, but how can you stop it?
It all went ahead.
Within 3 days, they were divorced in England and a mother flew them both home.
Oh,
3 days after the wedding into the honeymoon, it broke up.
Yeah, $55,000 honeymoon. She walked away, rang her mother in tears, get me out of here. Mum flew him home.
Oh.
to let him have a honeymoon.
Tony, go back in time.
Go back in time, yeah. Tone. What could you have done? Is there anything you could have done to ward her off that dud, that absolute pathetic dud? Is there anything you could have done?
Well, we went camping, for example. I went for a walk, and I kept pointing out the fact that this money's disappearing. Oh, yeah, no one works for 7 or 8 weeks without being paid. Tried to show her the alarm bells that we saw, and she was, love was blind. He was the one.
But you didn't get a chance to sit down one-on-one and talk to him, did you?
No, he was pretty cunning, this fella.
Disappearing act, yeah. Righto.
Yeah. Well, Tone, we're glad that she's out of it now, mate. Thank you for your... That's a good story to hear. Thank you, Tony.
Paul's got some advice. Paul from Meadowbrook, what do you got?
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate.
I'm a father of 3 daughters, and I do a little bit of shooting, and I find the best thing... when they introduce themselves to you is... pretty well take them into the reloading room, find their name on it, and they tend to have them home in time, they're never late, and leaves out the idiots.
Is that a joke, or are you fair dinkum, Paul?
Paul's fair dinkum.
No, I've done that with all 3 of them.
And have the blokes stayed round? Like, are they married?
No, the eldest one has just brought her, probably about 3 months ago, brought her latest partner around. She's been seeing him for 6 months. She's pregnant. Ooh. They sat me down to tell me that they're going to have a baby. And I just said, well, what are you guys up to now? And they said, oh, nothing much. I said, well, jump in the car, we'll go for a drive. And we went down to the local local gun shop and picked out a rifle.
And?
He's a good bloke. He's hung around.
That is in Paul's world, a shotgun marriage is quite literal. Wow.
I feel so sorry for any single woman in Brisbane if that's what they've got to do with their dads to get their bloke across the line. Like, seriously, that is terrifying.
Really? Yeah. Yes. There's a lot of duds out there, Robin.
Rough justice.
There's a lot of duds out there.
What was your idea before? Make them, if you go pay for the wedding.
If I've got it, let's say I had daughters. I was running this by you, Marto, right? If I had daughters and I've got to pay for the wedding, am I entitled to sit down the prospective husband of my daughter and say, open up your bank accounts, let me see that you're not massively in debt, or you're not like exactly what happened with Tony. Mm. You've got no money and you're pretending that you've got money and you're fleecing people, or otherwise I'm not paying for this
business
wedding.
Plan for the next 5 years. That's
oh
what you need to see.
God, I feel like I've gone back to the 1950s.
Laminated as well. Welcome.
Laminated.
Laminated. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Went out on a Tuesday night to the Kenmore Tavern.
The Kenmore Tab?
Yeah, KT, mate.
Quite a lot of my mates used to drink down there after work.
It's a good place. Anyway, it was for drinks for a girlfriend of mine, who I will call Sophie, because yesterday her divorce came through, so we had a bit of a divorce party.
I've heard of these. It's real.
Yeah, it was real. I guess it was a group of her really good mates just kind of going, hey, today's the first day of the rest of your life. Let's go.
The papers got signed?
It all went through court and it was all official, and now she could move on. And it wasn't like a dancing on top of her ex or anything like that. It was just like a, yay, sister, let's go. It's kind of fun, actually.
It was?
Yeah, okay. It really was.
What was the vibe? Is it like, it's a new start, it's a fresh beginning for you? Okay, so that was the vibe. All right, there you go.
And up on Facebook, someone's already written that they went to one. My friend had one years back, and then it was a great night out, not just with the girlfriends, but with her friends and their partners. I know of one recently where the wife buried her ring in the backyard, and her and her girlfriends went on a big weekend down the coast to celebrate, complete with a cake. The cake had the bride and groom on top, and after cutting the cake, she threw the groom off the balcony of their room and said so he could find someone else.
Wow.
Wow.
Wedding dress? What did she do last night?
No.
Was there any suggestion?
No, none of that.
That being burnt would have been a good symbol.
Oh, yeah, but then you're ruining what could be a nice frock that you could cut up and change colour and do something else with. Mm. Mind you, she had been married a really long time.
Has that ever been done?
Yeah, often.
What, get a wedding dress? Because they're totally ridiculous. Do people reuse them?
Well, if you get a big dress with a big skirt, right, and kind of maybe a tight bodice, you can cut it to, say, 3/4 and put it in, change it to blue, and you can wear it as a formal frock.
I know we were talking divorce parties. This is all news to me. I know you can do that with T-shirts. I used to be able to turn them into singlets. I'm a bit of a fashion designer. I didn't know you did it with wedding dresses.
Yeah, same thing with the engagement ring. You can have the diamonds taken out or whatever stone and get them remodeled.
Oh, what does she do? All right, what do you do? What has she done with her wedding ring?
Well, she's had them taken off. Oh. I'm not sure. See, if you've got daughters, then you keep them for your daughters because that would mean something that, you know, the father gave the ring.
Was she bitter about anything? She's all happy?
Not at all. I mean, I know women that are bitter and people who've had parties to absolutely stump on top of their said ex. But in this case, it was just a matter of having some really nice champagne and going, good luck, honey. Now go forth and see what happens to your life.
So I hope she didn't crack onto a bloke. I know some of the blokes down there at the Kenmore Tavern. There was no cracking
on the
bloke.
On the day of the divorce, that's the day I met my new fella.
Crack onto one of the landscapers in the public bar.
Blokes wouldn't do that though, would you?
Yeah, they do. They have a divorce party, but I know some guys that have had divorce parties, but they go for about 10 years and they take place in the Philippines.
Big names in your workplace. All over the place. The big names in your workplace.
It's very easy to be a part of. Ed Cavalli, how do you play?
Oh, you just give us a call, tell us about the workplace that you were in, and then, oh my goodness. Is that Shannon Knoll grinding up on that woman? The big name has come into your workplace.
Here's an example, of some of the big names that have come through. Oh, yeah.
Chaz Mostert. Barry Humphries.
Trevor Gilmeister.
Alan Bond.
Mr. Glenn Lazarus.
Lady Camilla, Prince Charles.
Goodness me.
Ooh. it's just incredible the people that wander through Brisbane. And if it wasn't for this segment, we would never know they were here. Now is your chance. No name too big. No name too small. Which big names have come into your workplace? Of course, we've got a prize for the best one. Yep.
Shani from Nunda, what is or was your workplace first?
Hungry Jack's.
Which branch? Which one?
It was at the airport.
Oh, okay. This could be anyone. This could be any of the Palmers. Holy. Who was it, Shani?
Jonathan Thurston.
He eats Hungry Jack's.
He does. What did he eat, Shani? Oh, are you like a doctor? Are you allowed to tell us about your clients and patients?
I try not to, but this time, that's okay.
What did he have?
Big brekkie wrap.
Ooh.
A big brekkie wrap. So some bacon, a bit of egg in there as well, some barbecue sauce, Shani.
Of course,
onion ring. Anything on the side? Any onion rings?
No.
Hash brown.
Big brekkie wrap. Hash brown's on the big brekkie wrap. So
it's in it.
It's all in together.
It's big. Oh, massive.
He's hungry, clearly.
Okay,
thanks, Shani.
That's perfect. Thank you, Shani. We're off to a flyer here. We are off to a flyer. Douglas is from Marsden. Who was the big name? What was the workplace, buddy?
I work for Gold Coast Harley Davidson, and we had Bruce Springsteen in about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, how cool is that? So he borrowed a bike?
Yeah, him and the crew. So a few of the roadies and a few of the band members, they were riding around Gold Coast and Brisbane on our bikes.
Oh, how big a name do you have to be to borrow a bike? Did they have to pay money?
I don't know the details. I'm not privy to that sort of information.
Did you get a photo and stuff? Did everyone gather around?
Yeah, there's a photo with our dealer principal and Bruce. It's up on our Facebook page.
There you go. That's very cool.
Say the name again. Sorry, Doug. Say the name again, buddy.
Gold Coast Harley Davidson.
Wow.
Gold Coast Harley Davidson.
Do you know a friend of mine, Bruce Springsteen, gets one nail, puts a fake nail on one of his fingernails so he can play the guitar, and she was invited to come in to behind the scenes before he was going on stage to attach the nail so that he could play the guitar as well as he does.
Cool. That's weird Bruce Springsteen story.
That is.
Fantastic.
Sorry about her, Douglas. Thanks, mate. Robert from Redbank Plains, where were you and who was it?
I was living in Adelaide at the time, working for Barlow's shoe shop in the middle of the mall there, and Alice Cooper's come in.
So Barlow's is like a nice, classy sort of menswear. He normally wears like capes and eye makeup. What was he in the market for?
It was a shoe shop, so he was obviously in the market for some new platforms. But really approachable dude, and just really, really cool. I was... Yeah. You know, shaking my hands like a little schoolgirl, and he took the time to talk to me.
He doesn't wear the makeup when he's just wandering around the streets during the day, does he?
No, and he looks like he looks like an old scrotum. He's really, really old.
Old scrotum.
Okay.
In my...
Okay. We have got a visual on
they
that
They all look old. Anyway, old scrot. Old scroty Cooper.
Thanks for that visual, mate. Yeah. Jenny from Sumner Park, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, Jen. Bring up the decorum here. Tell us, who have you run into? Who was the famous person in your workplace?
Ed Cavalier at Fit and Fast in Paddington.
Oh.
Well, but he doesn't know anymore because I guess he thinks he's buffed enough.
Well, hang on.
What does a Fit and Fast do, Jenny? Is that where you work?
It's a gym.
Yeah, it's a great gym. There's Fit and Fast in Paddington is an excellent gym, but I'd moved slightly, so I did change my fitness area. But, Jenny, it is a lovely gym, and I know your daughter there. She does an excellent job. Yes, does an excellent job. Very kind. It's a very nice gym. But I will say this, Jenny. He does know. Marto's pretending he doesn't know, but he knows perfectly well about the Fit and Fast in Paddington.
Is this the gym that used to be the nightclub?
No. Yes. Tell everyone what the Fit and Fast in Paddington used to be.
You know that. What was the nightclub? Oh, God.
I know. Opposite the Paddo.
Opposite the Paddo Tavern.
Night shift.
Illusions?
No.
Oh, God. I've lost my mind. I met my wife there. Well, I'm telling you.
It's Cafe
that's
Neon, isn't it?
Cafe Neon.
Yeah.
Oh,
well
wow.
done, Bridget. You weren't even there then.
I'm 26. Come on.
Now, Jim, what's the irony of that?
I know.
One minute you're meeting your wife, having a rum, and next thing you know, Ed's going to the gym there.
So, Jenny, did Ed do a heavy workout often? Like, was he one of those guys that was sweating all over the equipment, or...?
He used to just put his earphones in and just walk around.
Walk around.
Okay. Now, hang on, Jenny.
What a workout.
What were you doing there, Ed?
All right, Jenny.
Hey, Jenny, you reckon he's got really skinny calves? He probably needs to do a little bit more on them, doesn't he?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, Jenny's looked at them.
All right,
Ed's got, look at you. Look at you, Ed. You've got all like flushed and embarrassed.
Just got badly sidetracked this morning. Sorry.
Nine to skip leg day.
Billy from Annerley, what was the workplace? Who was the big name?
The workplace was Domino's Pizza. And as a delivery boy, I got the shock of my life one day delivering three pizzas, a garlic bread and a Coke. And who should open the door but the great Gordon Tallis?
Wow. I'm shocked it wasn't more pizza. Now, what type of pizzas did Gordy go for?
I think he just got some basic ones, a supreme sort of Hawaiian and a pepperoni. His kids were in the other room playing the Wii, and he'd asked them to come and help him with the pizzas, and they didn't. And he got a bit upset, and to be honest, I was a little bit scared. He's a pretty intimidating fellow. He fills out the door frame, that's for sure.
Yeah. Did he talk to you for a while? Did he start a good convo? Because
he loves a chat.
No, I kind of felt a bit shocked that I now knew where Gordon Tallis lives. He's a Westie, as you said on the fish and chips last week. Yeah. He's a fan of the fish and chips down there at Kenmore. And, I was just in shock.
What a night.
Yeah, well done, Billy.
What a treat for you, Billy.
Thanks,
it would have been more shocked if you were a salad delivery boy and you'd rocked up at his place. But it's lovely to hear that Gordy's getting some dominoes in him. Jason's from Moray Field. Jace, who was the big name? What was the workplace?
I worked at Isuzu in Moray Field. Yeah. And every day I had Steve Walters come in and see us because he worked with us.
Boxhead Walters.
He worked there or he came in and pretended?
He had to come in because, he did. He worked there selling fleet.
He was?
He sold fleet. Now, when Boxhead Walters sells you some fleet, what is he doing there? Is he saying there's a lot of headroom in this Isuzu? You could fit a couple of Walters in here. How did he go?
he did quite well, yeah.
He would have done a fair bit of business on the golf course, as they say.
Yeah, he'd probably do three out of the 6 days at work. Don't know where he was the other days.
Yeah, I'm suggesting the golf course.
I
thought he was a carpenter, Steve.
He is now. He's doing, I think it's carports.
Yeah.
Carports.
Imagine him turning up and doing your carport.
Mm. Yeah, it's just Steve. Well, that's great. Steve, we're always happy to hear about a Walters.
Yeah.
We like a Walters.
Oh, what about this one?
Okay. Hello, Dave of Cashmere.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, good. Who's been the famous person and where were you working?
Well, I used to be a detective for the Queensland Police, and back in around 2002, you might remember the CHOGM meeting, Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Silly shirts.
Yeah, and the Queen was staying at the Stanford Hotel.
The Queen?
And So there was a contingency of police sent there. I was lucky enough to get the floor where her and Prince Philip were. And coincidentally, Bill Clinton was touring, doing a speaking gig around Australia, was in Brisbane and wanted to meet them. So that all coordinated and happened right in front of me. So they were standing 2 or 3 feet from me in the lift, so I didn't get in a lift.
You saw Bill Clinton meet the Queen right in front of you?
With the Duke present, yeah.
Oh, with my God.
Okay, so, what happened? Yeah, like, what do you do? You nod? You don't curtsy if you're a bloke. What do you do when you meet the Queen?
Well, we've been given fairly strict instructions, you know, not to rush and hug them, of course, or reach out and shake the hands or selfies. Although selfies wasn't really the thing in those days. But so it was just standard attention, look professional, and if they greet you, greet them. Because apparently the Queen has a habit of doing that occasionally, and certainly Bill Clinton, also greeting people. But there was a lot of pressure there. I remember thinking myself that this would be a bit of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So as they walked down the hall, you could see them. It felt like you had some big rock show waiting for these famous people to suddenly turn up. And there they were. And, of course, they're just human, which is quite freaky to actually see them laughing and joking. And Bill Clinton in particular thanked the Queen and the Duke for their family's support through, no doubt, his tough times.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then there was this interesting, curious shuffling into the lifts and joking about who's going to go in the lift first with what security contingent.
Yep.
Who won that one, just quickly? Who went first?
Queen.
The Duke went in there, and he was the first one standing on his own, sort of giggling at each other about the fact
he's awkward. Isn't he awkward, that Duke?
Just some classic royal banter there, Dave, from Kashmir. And for that, you win. Winner. You go on America's Watts Man of the Hour solo stand-up tour. Brisbane City Hall, March 23 to 26, BrizComFest.com. Well done, Dave. You've won big names in your workplace.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Dave, were you within earshot when Bill Clinton suggested the threesome, or did that happen in the lift?
No, it would be a great story. I probably would have sold that by now.
Spoke to him yesterday about driverless cars coming to Queensland, because he's one of the few people in the world that's actually been inside one. And now we've got to go back to our tech expert, Trevor Long, to speak to him, because he's been at the World Mobile Phone Conference in Barcelona. G'day, Trev.
Doesn't that sound riveting?
Is it?
I reckon it does. I reckon it sounds really exciting.
I'll be honest with you. It's really not. but it is just where a bunch of mobile phones are announced every year in the network executives talk about 5G and what's next.
So I would have imagined that you'd be walking through these aisles and just being completely wowed by the greatest next big thing that's going to happen in mobile phone technology, but it sounds like that's not what's going on.
There's a lot of mobile phones, and they all look the same, let's be honest. So that's why it's actually a bit exciting when you can find something like BlackBerry's back, or Nokia's got a 3310. These things are actually, you know, interesting stories, as opposed to just, you know, this phone's got a slightly bigger screen, an extra megapixel in the camera.
What's the story with Nokia bringing the 3310 back? Why?
So the thing is, Nokia didn't exist. Nokia sold off their mobile phone business to Microsoft, who killed it. Oh. And the brand is so big, like, we're so loyal to the brand over the years, that they went, well, why don't we start making smartphones? And in many developing countries, they still use basic feature phones, you know, the keys at the bottom and the simple screen at the top.
Yeah.
So instead of just making another one, they've made a 3310. It looks similar to the old 3310, and it got all the hype here. But reading between the lines, it's a 2G phone, so it won't work in Australia. So unless you're on the Vodafone network, where it will work until September, the thing's basically a paperweight.
So what's the what's the point then? They want to try and capture all the market around in developing countries. Is that what they're going for?
Yeah, I mean, there's millions of phones to be sold in Africa and India and stuff. But also, let's be clear, we're talking about Nokia again. So in a few months, when Nokia do bring out the Nokia 6, the 5 and the 3, which are touchscreen Android smartphones, we'll be like, oh, that's interesting. Let's give it a go, because it's Nokia.
Talking to Trevor Long, our tech expert, I've been at the World Mobile Phone Conference in Barcelona. Are we heading towards the implants that I always hear about? The little implant in my ear and then something on my wrist so I won't actually have a little thing to carry around and look at soccer scores on? Is that where we're headed?
Well, you know, you could pretty much do that now. I mean, with an Apple Watch, you could be out and about listening to music through your Bluetooth headphones. But Huawei, the Chinese company, announced a watch here that has a SIM card in it. So that's the next thing. You really want to be able to make phone calls without a phone, right? So you just use your watch.
And you said BlackBerry. I thought they sold to China. No, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so BlackBerry, the Canadian company that were huge, they've stopped making phones. They instead have decided to make really secure software for phones, and they licensed their brand to TCL, big Chinese company who make the Alcatel mobile phones. Uh-huh. And they've got a new one coming out called the Key One. And let me tell you, great phone. This is a genuine phone, smartphone, Android-based, but it's got a BlackBerry keyboard. So lots of people at $799 are going to love this thing when it comes out in May, June.
Hey, Trev, so many other products, we pay a lot more for things in Australia than anywhere else. How about our phones? Are we being overcharged?
You know, it's been a pretty good last year or year and a half. When we do the basic currency conversion, it works out pretty close. You know, there's always shipping and different things to go in there. So, no, we're getting a pretty good deal on mobile phones, I reckon.
Now, I get harassed by my kids all the time about having the latest and greatest. As a tech expert, what phone do you have?
Great question. I have about six on me right now, but the one I'm talking
drug
to
dealer.
You on is
drug dealer.
The
dealer.
That's it. He's got Tinder profiles on all of them.
Cheater.
I use an iPhone because my kids, who are 10, 5 and 6, have iPods, so they can send me text messages via iMessage. So that's the single reason that I use an iPhone, no other.
So at not necessarily the best, but the phone that you can talk to the kids on.
If you wanted to know what's the best phone, I would tell you the Huawei P9 is the best phone on the market.
Don't you use that language on the radio, please, Trevor Long. This is a family program. Hey, Trev, good to speak to you. He's our tech expert, EFTM.com.
Pleasure as always.
Is his website. He's just been at the World Mobile Phone Conference in Barcelona.
Marto, Ed and Rob in the new Triple M.
Oh, my God. Can I give you some big news from yesterday?
Please.
Australia, there's a big air show going on down at Avalon. Is that Victoria Avalon?
Yes. It's the other airport.
Okay. They were showing stuff off yesterday, and guess what turned up? Our defence minister was there, the EA-18G jet aircraft. It's a new... It's been described as a beast. It was built to be a war aircraft, and it's exactly what we plan to use it for. That's our head of our Air Force, Leo Davies.
To replace like the F-111 or something.
Oh, no, that's already been replaced by the F-18 and the F-35. Oh, I don't know. They're all these things. But this one, all you need to know, forget all the letters and the numbers.
Okay.
It's packed with radar and radio jamming system. The future has arrived. The name of this plane... You know how the F-111 was the pig who the pig who flew? Was that what they used to call
it? Yeah, and then there was the Tomcat, F-18 Tomcat.
That's right. Well, now I am proud to announce that 12 of these are about to come to Amberley mid-year. They are, say hello to the Growler. The Growler.
The Growler?
The Growler.
That's I kind of like that as a name.
Look at that. Look how sharp they are.
Do you like that, Ed?
Look, I think it's the future. It's always nice.
The Growler.
It's always nice when there's a few more growlers taking place
at Ipswich. Brisbane. 12 new growlers at Ipswich.
12 new growlers at Ipswich. I think I read that ad online for that somewhere.
Imagine you're in a bit of trouble, you're fighting, on the ground, and you call in a bit of air support. Send in the growler.
Okay, I don't know how that's going to help. But...
All right. Well, that was news.
Scramble the growler.
Can we just reinforce NRL season starts tomorrow night, Broncos v Sharks down in Sydney. I want to say that because I know people have got to put their fantasy teams together. It takes a lot of hard work. I'm just doing tipping this year. It's too much work doing Supercoach. I'm sorry. I know I should be promoting it and everything else, but... All right. What I do want to talk about is a couple of changes to the rules of the game that you're going to find out. If I said to you, I'm going to have to read this too. The NRL has launched a crackdown on the amount of time trainers are allowed to loiter on the field.
Okay.
And they're talking especially about the blue shirt trainers. I think we all know that the orange shirt ones, they actually are qualified and they know what they're doing. They're sometimes physios and all the rest of it. The blue shirt trainers, they're usually former players who just go out there and...
Oh, Alfie.
That's right.
Alfie Langer. We used to play a game...
This is the Alfie Langer rule.
Okay, so State of Origin, my sons and I used to play a game of how many times can you spot Alfie on the pitch before... Wow.
That's all I do when I go to a game. That's all I watch is Alan Langer.
He's so funny.
He's on the field for a lot more than some of the players.
Yeah, yes. And you want him to grab the ball and run because that's what he's desperate to do.
Well, he's only inches away from it most of the time telling them what to do. Do you agree? He is guiding them around the field, isn't he? And this rule has changed. They're going now, the guys in the blue shirt trainers, which are normally the assistant coaches of the team some of the time, they have to be off the field after the fourth tackle. So they can't be there on the fifth tackle. Okay. So they can't be there to tell them, hey, kick down to the right, kick right. left, kick low, high, you know, whatever they tell each other. This is incredible.
What do you think, Ed?
I hate it. I loved it when they was getting Alfie was starting to get busted because originally he was a water boy. But when he went out there, he had a water bottle in his hand and players would ask for it and he would just sort of look at them because there was no water in it. Yeah. And then in order to try and make it look less suspicious, I remember speaking to Gordon Tallis about this, they were like, okay, Alf, you're clearly not giving anyone any water. This has got to look a bit more professional. So they said, I know we'll do it. Yes, they gave him a towel for his other hand. Yeah. So I don't know what so we could wash players' windscreens. I don't know what they thought he was going to do with it.
So does he have the coaches telling him what to tell the players? Like, is it that calculated?
We've asked him that before because we would like to find out what message are they giving. He says, doesn't matter. I just go out there and tell them whatever I reckon they should be doing.
He's a rogue. He's a lovable rogue.
He's loose.
So it's Wayne Bennett who's actually put this in place.
Can you imagine Wayne Bennett's on you on the radio? I think you start switching off after a while. Oh, whatever. Whatever. It's fifth tackle. I've got to get going.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Yeah, all the major male footy codes of the oval ball variety either have started or are about to start. We've got your AFL, the Lions. They've announced a new captain.
They really needed a change over here.
His name is Dane Beams, and he's in the paper today. And Marto, you and I and Robin, we're all scratching our heads going, we don't know too much about him, but he's a former Collingwood player. So what we thought we'd do is we'd get one of our Triple M's AFL experts. He also works with the president of Collingwood every morning in the form of Eddie Maguire. Hello, Mick Malloy.
Never buy a Collingwood reject.
Oh, no.
They're usually damaged, either physically or mentally.
Really?
Or got an IQ of 50, which means that he'll possibly fit in well at the Brisbane Lions.
Oh, dear.
Probably be straight into the leadership group.
Well, he's captain already. This might have found something. Okay, Mickey.
Well, the leadership group up there talk about parole, what they're doing. They're still in the comp. Do they still have a team?
Yes, the Brisbane Lions are still running around.
Mickey, I see the Jungle Show. Now, that bloke, what's his name? Dane Swan. Was he
Dane
Collingwood?
Swan. He was
What's with all the tattoos? Because this new captain, this Dane Beams, the captain of the Lions, fully tatted up one arm. Like,
it's a factory. It's
a
what
pair
they do.
Of dice. Like
part
the
of
dice.
A criminal subculture. Have you seen their women's team?
I have.
But Mick, why only down one arm?
Yeah, why has Dane gone the one
just
arm?
Just weird
mate?
That Dwayne's
you're
done
asking
that.
The wrong guy. I don't have a single tattoo.
No,
on
you don't,
me.
Mick Malloy.
Oh, visible. I've got the old wow tattoo.
Of course you do, yeah.
An oldie bit of goodie. But
one of the favourites of the Triple M Christmas party, that one.
Oh, Triple M Christmas party. It's out on display. So I don't know. I've always said I would go to the grave unmarked. I've never understood. In the old days, you know what a tattoo used to be significant?
What was that?
Because it meant you were part of a criminal underclass.
Right.
Or, you know, so you're either a sailor who sailed the seas or you've been done jail time or whatever. Whereas now, what you're seeing, Robin, with the sleeve is a fashion statement.
Yes.
So if you have a look at most of the guys with a sleeve tattoo, they are not necessarily the toughest guy, but the guy who wants to be the toughest.
Yes. So they're demonstrating how
they're
tough they want to be.
They're overcompensating for their lack of toughness.
Okay, so that's like the equivalent of the one shoulder frock right there. He's just gone one arm.
I'll take your word for it.
The one shoulder frock, Robin.
You know, like that's trying to stand out a little bit, be a slightly different.
Oh, is it like when a woman accidentally lets a nipple slip out on the red carpet to try and
get
some attention?
Mick. I would never get a tattoo, but I got a nipple ring once.
Did you?
I got a nipple ring. Yeah, I kept my spare house key on it. So when you come home drunk, and you couldn't remember, you'd lost your
under
keys.
The mat.
You wouldn't even have to take it off. You just put your nipple up to the door.
Well, why didn't you get your address tattooed just above it so you could just show it to the cabbie when you got in?
I do. I got a tattoo. I got a tattoo of Melway's roadmap, map 54.
With an arrow.
Because that had my street on it, so I could get in a cab and just point, and I'd mark in the nearest Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's fantastic.
Then we swing by there.
One-stop shop.
Okay.
All right, Mick.
I'm thinking of getting a plate in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You know the ones in the old Amazon?
Yeah.
You know the National Geographic?
Maybe
a big coil on my neck.
Really? Just to complete the look. All right, Malloy.
Why not? Then I'd get a game for Brisbane.
Collingwood rejects, captaining the Lions. Malloy, not a fan. Thank you, sir.
All right. I'm going to go get myself an off-the-shoulder frock.
Best of Brisbane this week is the best local sporting club. Of course, last week it was Fish and Chips, and the winner was...
Fish Lips.
At Fernie Hills. Been in the news a bit, Fernie Hills. Made me think, you know, there was that. There was a house fire there the other night. And then yesterday, there was this...
Lunchtime chaos in a busy suburban shopping centre as an out-of-control Mazda careered front-first into the Fernie Hills Bakery.
Whoops.
What's wrong
One
with
of
that?
These incidents. Just stay with me here for a second. Brand new owners, apparently, and I love their attitude. Your shop's just been smashed up. There's a car being ripped out. Your whole front's gone, and they held it together nice.
Heard a loud noise. I come out the front to find a vehicle in place of where our shop used to be. It could have so easily been us two in the front of that shop. As long as nobody's hurt, we're happy, yeah. And we'll just get on and pick up the pieces.
What incredible people.
Lovely Irishman.
Only just opened, and that's what happened. All right. Mm-hmm. Robin, Ed knows my attitude to these sort of things, and every time one of these shops, it ain't no invasion. It's not a ram raid. What do you call them?
ISIS involvement.
No, this is just in the middle of the day. Cars keep hitting shops. It happens, and I'm happy these two are feeling okay. They're an elderly couple in their 70s, deep into their 70s, and they're feeling they've taken them to hospital. They're alive, and everything's okay.
Inside the car, a couple in their 70s, Max and Joy, heading to a doctor's appointment.
Okay, you're with me so far?
I'm with you. I don't know what the problem is yet.
Here's the bloody problem.
Max was pulling into this disabled car spot when, by mistake, he hit the accelerator instead of the brake, smashing straight into the side of the bakery.
Accelerator instead of the brake. Okay.
That can happen.
All right, Robin, I've just got to tell you, this is a campaign I'm running. I may actually run for Parliament just to get this rule changed. Every person over the age of 70 should be driving a manual, because what would have happened to Max if he was driving a manual? He would have stalled and been a little bit embarrassed. We wouldn't be cleaning up a bloody shop, another shop. It just keeps on happening time after time after time. Oldies, oh, whoops. No, if you can't let old people drive an automatic. If they can't drive a manual, they're not allowed to drive anymore.
That is your ruling.
Yep.
But over the age of 75, they have to go and get a doctor's certificate to drive every year.
I don't give a stuff about the doctor's certificate. They can sort that out. That's a side issue.
But that means they can drive.
Old people aren't allowed
to
drive automatics. They can't be trusted in the things.
What?
They can either ride a horse or they've got to get a manual.
Hang on a sec.
I'm a bit over the mobility scooters too. Too many of them around.
Okay, but we hear of old people going into shops, what, like once or twice a year?
No, more often than that. Oh, hold on.
No, it's more often than that.
Yeah, it's once a week.
Yeah, but there's a lot of old people who are on the road who don't do those sorts of things, and you're going to deem that over the age of 70 they then have to...
They're all ticking time bombs as far as I'm concerned. They're a shop being run into waiting to happen.
This is what we do.
What?
We set up a... we do a sting. We set up a fake bakery, right?
Yes. Made of cardboard, okay. So no one gets hurt.
And and it's just got cameras in it. And then we put like 15 parking spots right out the front, right? Mm. And we tape them off, and then we advertise. Only tomorrow at the brand new Kenmore Bakery. Half price pies and an André Rieu CD thrown in, and
that'll get them. That's
a lovely woolen sweater and a lovely woolen sweater as well, and a message from your grandkids. It's all here. And we see if anyone, as soon as one of these oldies, boom, goes through the front, give us your license.
So you're supportive of this ridiculous premise.
It's not ridiculous at all.
What a sting!
All right. I think we'll see the road toll of bakeries smashed into. Yeah. Oh, they love a pharmacy because that's where they're always going.
They love a pharmacy.
They love
as well.
This
has got a current affair written all over it, hasn't it?
Oldies who are just having a crack at life by getting out in the middle of the day to participate in the world
65.
We live in.
Retirement age.
What?
That's it. If the more you talk, the lower the age gets.
Please stop.
I do drive a manual.
How old are you, mother?
All right, we sorted?
Yep.
No. Well,
just to explain to you where I sit on a few things.
Both Marta and I have witnessed the same thing, and it's concerned us both in very different ways.
Is this about early mornings?
Yeah, on our way to work. Now, you ride your bike?
I ride my bike every day, and for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I'm really concerned about this one young girl who walks up past the Normanby, going outbounds towards Kelvin Grove, on her own, totally in the dark. It's concerning me. I don't know what to do.
Well, I've seen a similar situation, but I'm coming in from the west, along Milton Road in front of the brewery. And I guess I'm assuming that maybe because it's not every day, but she might be going to the servo or to the McDonald's.
Or McDonald's. Is that 24-hour, Ed?
Yep.
Ed knows.
Yeah, absolutely. And on this, my wife, Tiff, who obviously goes, you know, before she was pregnant, used to love to go out running around the river. And she loves to run along the river. She loves it down there.
But you know, at what time of the day or night?
Well, we have a rule, mate. Mm. I put in a rule. And I said, listen, you know, she's a grown woman. She doesn't make her own life. But she's, you know, a 6-dan black belt in taekwondo. So she doesn't think she's invincible, but she always says, I can handle myself. But I said, you can't handle yourself getting knocked on the head from behind. So we have a rule. No double headphones if she goes out running or walking. She's got to have one ear open to the world. And also, she's not allowed. Or, you know, I'm only concerned about her, and she agrees.
It's all right, Ed. We know what you like. It's all good.
I'm not trying to control her. I'm just trying. You know, we're trying to keep her safe. She can't run in the dark.
I had the same rule for Hillary, my 18-year-old.
Run in the dark.
Okay, but there are some situations, and I say this because I have been a runner in the dark, is that, you know, I do the whole kid thing after school, get stuff sorted, go to... actually, I have been known to drop off one of my kids to training and while he's training, go for a run. And I've done that around Ipswich and it gets darker at night when you do it.
Am I getting older? But I'm worried that it's not safe. It obviously is. No one's haven't heard of anyone being attacked lately.
There was that tourist. And
the
was
French tourist.
Was the other woman as well down, I can't remember exactly where now, but you do hear of stories. And we only hear the ones that are absolutely horrific. We don't, you know, Tiff said to me before, it's fine. Oh, I mean, occasionally you'll see someone you think, oh, what are they up to? I'm like, well, that's what I'm talking about.
Is it a numbers game? Like there would be 400 million people running and one person gets hurt. Yeah. I mean, obviously that's an exaggeration. But the other point is too, is that then you're saying that it's not safe to walk alone in Brisbane at night or run alone
in
Brisbane at night.
It is if you're a bloke, don't you reckon? It's only girls. That's why I saw this girl and went, God, that's got to be dangerous. There's no one else around and you're doing the same thing every day.
Well, the same thing every day is problematic.
But it's
that
weird
if I went
and approached her and said, what do I say to her? Hey.
Don't do it.
Yeah, what do you do?
Like, who are you?
She's probably got a tactic. She might have something in a handbag or whatever.
You'll get mace in the eye.
Yeah, but for trying to tell her. But I just worry that it's not safe. It must be because I'm not hearing reports every day.
Well, is it? That's the question. Mm. Give us a call.
Lisa, what do you reckon? You feel safe out there at night wandering around?
Well, just speaking on behalf of myself and another girlfriend, that we go for walks like about 5:30, 6-ish with our children. I mean, like, not together, but like when I go for my walks and stuff, I have no issues or dramas and stuff. And also when she tells me they go for their walks and... But see, that could just depend on certain areas or I don't know if you're familiar with your area and the people around and stuff like that.
Yeah, areas. We're hearing that a lot, Lisa, people calling through that different areas seem
to make...
That's
every city in the world, isn't it, Ed?
That's right. That's every place in the world.
In every place.
And they do say to be instinctive. So if you start to feel uncomfortable, that's when you get the hell out of there.
Trust your gut.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Peter, what do you reckon?
Is this me?
Yeah, yes, that's mate. You.
Peter, are you Peter?
Yeah, what do I reckon? Well, you know, I think it's sad because I don't want to live in a city that women can't go out at night because there's only a few bad apples. But I think at the same time, like if Ed and what have you, if there's people that are actually taking notice what's around them, that is sort of one solution. But, I mean, you can't be everywhere at all times. So, I mean, it sucks. But, yeah, I think it's true. I think it is unsafe.
What about this one with the, you know, Maru and I seemed was sort of talking specifically about women exercising, so running or walking by themselves, what is essentially very early in the morning as opposed to very late at night. To me, that just, you know, when Tiff wants to run around the river, and it's beautiful down there, don't get me wrong, but I just tell her, just wait till the sun's up and there's a few more people around because there's so many nooks and crannies around the river.
It's in the dark, yeah.
That's scary, Pete, you know?
It's awesome when you go from darkness into twilight. Like, I like
that's
it at night
says.
When it goes from...
She loves that. It, she loves
yeah,
that.
It's
she loves
awesome.
Seeing the sun
and
come up.
And these, I mean, but at the same time, like, it's valid because there are people who just... who don't think like us. And
yes,
I guess, you
right.
know, that's just, yeah.
Robin, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you carry a weapon of
no,
any sort?
No, I don't. No, 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 I don't.
What about one of those really, really, really bright torches?
No, the thing they say to do is to scream in someone's ear.
Oh.
So if you get that close, because no one can cope with that sound at such high decibels. But the other thing is too, if you're training for a marathon, which I did in 2011, and you work, the only time you can run is early morning and late night. And to get the K's in, you're going to be out
for
when the sun's either coming up or going down.
Okay.
You're not convinced?
No, I'm not. John, mate, hello, mate. You want to tell us a story about your daughter?
Yeah, I do. It's not just running at night, and just hearing your story this morning actually brought back memories of me daughter just a couple of years ago. Both of them were walking to school, 8 o'clock in the morning, on a busy area, busy road, on the north side, and they had a bit of an argument on the way to school. One went one way, one went the other way. When the oldest daughter, at the time she was 15, got to the bus stop, she freaked out. This guy jumped her. The bus stop, and he was very clever. He had a laptop that looked like, you know, so when the cars went past, he lifted it up, so it looked like he was just showing my daughter something. She was jammed in the corner, and she started freaking out. He managed to get his pants down, and then across the road was another bus stop with an alleyway, and they heard a lady and a man coming out, and he looked up, freaked out, and it was enough for her to just
get away
from him, bolt to the other side of the road. Oh, by the time she got to the other people, turned around, he was gone in the bushes out the back. Like, I was on night shift that night. You know, I've always told them, always be together, because someone won't attack you when you're in pairs. Just this day, this guy, the detectives and that, just said he must have been just waiting. It just happened to be
opportunistic
that day. And this is a busy, busy, if anyone knows Mondreal Terrace, it's along there. There's traffic that time of the morning, and he just had the, I don't know what it was, just today's my day to get someone, and it was her. But
they ever get him, John?
No, they never ever did, and it was when they were, I think there was a lot of attacks at that time. It was about 4 or 5 years
ago. That would have been when that bike path, there was a guy taking girls on bike paths. Yeah.
Yes, it was, and like just the fear of the missed calls that I got from my wife and that, and I was like, what's all this about? And she said, look, we're at the police station now, and the description that my daughter took, because she, the one good thing about her, she remembers anything. And when they'd done the sketch on the police sketches, my wife said, like, she, I won't say what she does, but she deals with police all the time. When they said, is this what the guy looks like? And when they showed the detectives and that, and they just nodded, and they've obviously had descriptions of this guy before, and they reckon he must have lived in the area. So I just say to anyone, I've always say to my wife when she's out running and walking now, she always takes a friend, like, I would say to any young lady, doesn't matter, if they're going to get you, they'll get you, and that's how sick these people are. It doesn't matter whether it's at night, but you hear these stories like you're talking about with people walking at night.
It can happen. It
can happen.
Is your daughter all right now?
Actually buggered her up for a while, but she's all good now. But just those following months after that, 6 to 8 months after that, just changed their whole lives forever. And like the detective said, it would have just taken, because there was bushes behind the bus stop where he was, a split second and her life could have been changed forever. And thank God that she was one of the lucky ones, and it never happened, you know, to her. So,
All right, John.
Ladies, be careful out there, and always take someone if you go at night.
I think that's excellent advice, John. Stay together if you can.
Wasn't expecting that.
No, well, that's the truth of it, though. You know? John's called us in with his story so that other people can hear it and go, well, you know.
It happens.